So namaste and welcome. It's good to see everyone here. And we have actually questions. Can one be married and take sannyas? Yes. Yes. We're opening up more of that tradition here that's called karma sannyas, which means you can do it with being married. Because I want people to really be dedicated to the path. You know, your attention is to your path, and then the rest of the things in life. And it just helps to keep that commitment strong. Because part of the path is developing that vairagya, that non-attachment. You know, so it doesn't mean that you can't have a marriage and you can't have these things. It just means that that's not, you know, what you run your life around. You know, the first part of the focus is your path. And if you're doing your path right, it can only aid in the marriage in the end as well. So, yes, you can still take sannyas and be married. Most definitely. Niranjananda is married. They just got married and he's taken sannyas. So, yes, quite possible. Quite possible. But once you take sannyas, I mean, there's no turning back. That's it. It means you're dedicated to it for life, you know. So that's an important step to think about. But a karma sannyasi, they do karma yoga or non-attachment to whatever they're making. You do everything what you can for society. In bhakti yoga, you do everything from the heart. So you put all of the yogas into effect. Of course, everyone on the path is supposed to do this, but if you're a sannyasi, you're really, it's more of making that dedication to carry this forward in whatever way possible. Your finances are no longer your own. Your time is no longer your own. Everything is for the path. So it's a big commitment. I've never called anybody on it, but, you know, but yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. Everything is for the path and for the work, and you own nothing of your own any longer. Not your time, not your money, nothing. So it's a big commitment, but yeah, it's possible. I hope we get more sannyasis willing to continue the work. What do you think is the meaning of Christ's second coming? Well, there's so much controversy about it, you know. Some say that his second coming will be physical. Some say no. I would say that Christ consciousness is available now, that it's opening up. So in that sense, Christ's second coming is always been here for those that are seekers, that are open. But then Christ also said, don't look for me here or there, that you'll see me coming in the clouds with great glory. So who knows, maybe he is also going to make another physical appearance. They have a lot of things that, like Kalki will be coming again, which also kind of goes into that on the white horse and just kind of clean house, you know. And the second time he comes, he's going to kind of clean house. He's going to, you know, so I think we just have to be open to all possibilities. You know, Christ consciousness is opening up. Okay. But also, yeah, he could make another appearance. Yeah. Hindu traditions also say, you know, and Buddha's coming back again and Christ is coming back again and these things, you know, when mankind gets ready. And they are going to open up and clean house. It's, you know, it's that no more games, guys. When I come back this next time, there's no games. I'm getting down to business, and that's it. So I think we just, you know, if you're on the path and you're doing what you need to do and you're opening that, there's, if he comes great physically, that's fine, that's great. It doesn't. If it's just Christ consciousness that opens up, that's great too. So yeah, I would just say, you know, just continue on with your path. Continue on unfolding and to reach realization. And then you find that heaven is at hand. It's here. It's here now. Not something far off. How should one behave towards beggars on the street? I think it depends on the beggar. You know? It depends. You'll run across some of them, you know, that some people are really just down in their luck and they really want to move forward, they really just need the help. And then you get ones that are scamming, you know, they're just scamming. The same thing in India. You know, you might give a beggar there, you know, something and they're very grateful for it. And then another one, you might give something and, oh, it's not enough and you're from a rich country and you can give me more. In that case, I'm sorry if it's not enough and I take it back. And I'll give it to someone, it is enough. And this is one reason that you're there, because you have no gratitude for anything and you'll be lifetimes in this position. So it's not a, you know, just a catch-all that you can say, yeah, just give to everyone, or, you know, you just have to, you know, go by the situation as it at hand. Yeah. But you can give, you know, give out of compassion and then let go of it, and that's fine. They'll get the karma for it, whichever way it is. You know, if you give from the heart, you know, that's fine. If they're doing it to rip off someone, they're going to incur more of a debt. But if it's really needed, then, you know, that's fine. It's great. Yeah, so if you feel like giving and you're led to just give something, give it. Go for it. Why not? Yeah, I've had sometimes, I took one person into my home and they ripped me off for everything I had. The time I was cursing, you know, I was like, you know, here I go and help you and take this person off the street, and they just ripped me off for, but then I look at it and I was probably too attached to the things they ripped off. So in the end it was, you know, it was okay. I had a lesson to learn in it as well, you know. But yeah, sometimes that happens as well. How does tarot help one on a spiritual path? Well, I think like with anything, you know, in a median way, it can be fine, but sometimes you can get too hung up on it, you know. But yes, once in a while here we'll do tarot, and it just kind of gives an overview spiritually what's happening, what you came in, what needs to be worked on, where the kind of the hang-ups. It depends on, you know, how you're doing the tarot, what you're using and how you're using it. But when we do tarot here, what happens is what comes out of it is where you're attached and where you're clinging, and you can kind of once in a while see that a little more clearly so that you can get a handle on it. And we just kind of overview and say, and it gives you something to think about where to start with things. Yeah. But you don't need to get up and do tarot with, for a daily guide of what should I do and what should I not do, or be freaked out about it, or, you know. Yeah, take everything with a grain of salt, median, you know, middle road for things. Yeah. If you have any comments or questions in the middle of this, feel free to comment. We have a microphone there. Questions pop up in it. Is Swamiji's outer form living out leftover karma from the last incarnation, or has karma been transcended? Well, you come into the life with Prarabdha karma, you know, karma that's going to play out. Okay, most people come in with some type of karma that needs to play out. The only ones that don't are the ones that come in realized from birth. And perhaps they don't have any karma, but they're just, you know, so much. You know, some of them are just in such bhava in the ozones, they can hardly, you know, relate to anything on this planet. They sometimes have a difficulty. But yeah, in this case, it's, you know, Prarabdha karma. It's what you come into, it just plays out, whatever karma you come into. The difference is, once realization happens, there's no attachment to it. Okay, what comes, comes. Okay, that's fine, doesn't matter, you know. But there's no aversion to it, no clinging to it, no need to change it, you know. It's fine. It just plays out. And okay. You know? Yeah. So simple. You know, all of this is just so simple. You know, we always want to make it so difficult and complicated, and why this and why that, and how does it, and what does it matter? You know, if we can let go of all of that stuff, thinking about why is this and how does this fit and where, you know, and just see it as the flow of what takes place. This is connected to this, and you open this door and that door closes and it opens this, and that's fine. So it's really, really quite simple in the end. We let off of all of this needing to figure out something or justify it, or why is this happening, or why is this not happening, or, you know. And then we just live life for what it is in this moment, and that's enough. The next moment will take care of itself. However it comes or doesn't come, or, you know. It's like the same thing, you know, people wonder that, you know, wonder about the second coming of Christ, or, well, what if, it was one point everyone was afraid California was going to fall in the ocean, all those predictions. So people are moving out of California. And they're coming up, we're going to fall in the ocean. You know, it doesn't matter. And I look at these people and I go, what does it matter where you're at? When it's your time, it's your time. You could, you know, you can move in another state and you step off the curb and get hit by a bus. I mean, come on. You know? But you're running in fear. I don't care if you're sitting on top of the Himalayas. You know, when it's your time, something's going to happen. What does it matter where you're living? But don't run your lives in fear, because there is no death in the end. You know? But people are so busy running their lives around the transience. Well, what if this? What if that? You know? And so these people move out of some place they were happy with for these what ifs. And they've spent how many years, and California has never fallen in the ocean. So they run their lives around this fear-based idea and have upended everything and moved, and, you know, for what? For what? We're going to be where we're going to be, and we are where we need to be, and just relax with it. Just try to relax and not try to be too involved in the what-ifs, and just see what you have here and now, and it's enough. What we have in life that's right here and right now is enough, and what comes, comes, and what doesn't, doesn't. If Christ comes, okay, we deal with it then. If it doesn't, what difference does the speculation make? You know, people want to make so complicated. I think we all do this on the path, you know. We all look, and I want to know the mysteries, and what if this, or if I know the tarot and I know what's going to take place in the future, then I can head it off or something, you know. Doesn't work that way anyway, you know. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You know. So what does it matter? Just take it as it comes in that moment, and that's it. And then it becomes so much more simplistic and such, you know. We have enough to deal with on our plate with what's right here. Enough experience to last us. Let's fully live this moment, and then the next will take care of itself, whatever it is. Do we have any other questions, comments? Oh, very simple one today, very quick. So with that, we will take a break. Namaste. Thank you for coming. We have hot tea out there, so please have a cup of tea. We take a short break, and then we reconvene for meditation.